and welcome to GCSE Economics Essentials. I'm your host, and today we're diving into one of the most important topics in your OCR economics exam, economic growth. Now, you've probably heard politicians and news reporters talking about GDP figures and growth rates, but what does this actually mean? And more importantly, how do you answer exam questions on this topic to pick up those crucial marks? Over the next 10 minutes, we're going to break down everything you need to know about economic growth. We'll cover the key definitions that examiners expect you to know word perfect, explore what causes growth and what happens as a result, and I'll share some insider tips on how to avoid the most common mistakes that cost students marks. So grab your notes, get comfortable, and let's get started. First things first, what exactly is economic growth? In your exam, you need to define it precisely. Economic growth is the increase in the real value of goods and services produced in an economy over time. It's measured by the percentage change in real gross domestic product, or real GDP. Now, let's unpack that definition because every word matters. GDP is the total value of all final goods and services produced within a country in a given time period, usually a year. When we say real GDP, we mean GDP that's been adjusted for inflation. This is crucial because if prices double but output stays the same, we haven't actually grown the economy, we've just experienced inflation. Here's a key distinction that trips up a lot of students. GDP versus GDP per capita. GDP measures the total output of the economy, but GDP per capita divides that figure by the population. So if GDP grows by 3%, but the population also grows by 3%, GDP per capita hasn't changed at all, which means the average person isn't any better off. Examiners love testing this distinction, so make sure you're crystal clear on when to use each measure. Now, how do we measure GDP? There are actually three different methods, and they should all give you the same answer. The output method adds up the value of all goods and services produced. The income method adds up all the incomes earned by factors of production, wages, profits, rent, and interest. And the expenditure method uses the formula C plus I plus G plus X minus M. That's consumption by households, plus investment by businesses, plus government spending, plus exports, minus imports. Let's talk about what causes economic growth. In the short run, growth comes from increases in aggregate demand. That means more spending in the economy, whether it's consumers buying more, businesses investing more, the government spending more, or foreign buyers purchasing more of our exports. You'll see this on an ADS diagram as the aggregate demand curve shifting to the right. But here's where it gets interesting. Long-run economic growth is different. Long-run growth comes from increases in productive capacity, which means the economy's ability to produce more goods and services. This happens when we increase the quantity or quality of our factors of production. Think about it. More workers, better trained workers, more machinery, better technology, more natural resources. All of these shift the long-run aggregate supply curve to the right, increasing potential output. A really important concept here is the distinction between actual growth and potential growth. Actual growth is what's happening to real GDP right now. Potential growth is the increase in what the economy could produce if all resources were fully employed. You can have actual growth without potential growth if the economy is just using spare capacity, but sustainable long-term growth requires increases in productive capacity. Now, what are the consequences of economic growth? This is where you need to think like an economist and consider both benefits and costs. On the benefits side, economic growth typically leads to higher living standards. When real GDP per capita rises, people can afford more goods and services, which improves quality of life. Growth also tends to create more employment opportunities as businesses expand. And here's something students often forget. Growth generates higher tax revenues for the government without raising tax rates because people are earning more and spending more. That means the government can afford better public services like healthcare and education. But, and this is a big but, economic growth isn't all positive. Rapid growth can cause demand pull inflation if aggregate demand rises faster than aggregate supply. Growth can also lead to greater income inequality if the benefits aren't distributed evenly. Some people get much richer while others are left behind. And then there are the environmental costs. More production often means more pollution, more resource depletion, and greater carbon emissions. This raises questions about sustainability. Can we keep growing forever on a planet with finite resources? Right, let's talk exam technique. One of the biggest mistakes students make is confusing a fall in the rate of growth with negative growth. Listen carefully. If the economy grows by 3% one year and 2% the next year, it's still growing. The rate has slowed down, but GDP is still increasing. Negative growth, which we call a recession, only happens when GDP actually falls. Another common error is forgetting to adjust for population when discussing living standards. If the question asks about living standards or quality of life, you must use GDP per capita, not just GDP. Examiners will not give you full marks if you ignore this distinction. When you're answering calculation questions, always show you're working. The mark scheme often awards marks for method, even if your final answer is wrong. For percentage change, the formula is new value minus old value divided by old value times 100. Write it out clearly. For longer analysis and evaluation questions, remember your assessment objectives. AO1 is knowledge. Define your terms precisely. AO2 is application. Use the context from the question. AO3 is analysis. Explain cause and effect with logical chains of reasoning. Use phrases like this leads to and as a result to show you're analyzing, not just describing. And here's a top tip for evaluation questions. Always consider trade-offs. Economic growth might increase living standards, but it might also increase inequality or environmental damage. The best answers weigh up these competing factors and reach a supported judgment. Don't just list points, compare them and say which matters more in the specific context of the question. Okay, let's test your knowledge with a quick-fire recall quiz. I'll ask a question, pause for a moment, then give you the answer. Question 1. What does GDP stand for? The answer is gross domestic product. Question 2. What's the difference between real GDP and nominal GDP? The answer is real GDP is adjusted for inflation. Nominal GDP is not. Question 3. What formula represents the expenditure method of calculating GDP? The answer is C plus I plus G plus X minus M. Question 4. What shifts the long-run aggregate supply curve to the right? The answer is increases in the quantity or quality of factors of production. Question 5. Name two benefits and two costs of economic growth. The answer is benefits include higher living standards and more employment. Costs include inflation and environmental damage. How did you do? If you got them all, brilliant. If not, go back and review those concepts. Let's wrap up. Today we've covered the essential knowledge you need for economic growth, the precise definitions of GDP and real GDP, the three methods of measuring GDP, the distinction between short-run and long-run growth, and the causes and consequences of growth, including both benefits and costs. Remember, in your exam, examiners are looking for precise economic terminology, clear chains of reasoning, and balanced evaluation that considers trade-offs. Always adjust for population when discussing living standards, always show you're working in calculations, and always link your analysis back to the specific context in the question. Economic growth is a core topic in OCR GCSE economics, and it links to so many other areas: inflation, unemployment, government policy, international trade. Master this topic, and you'll find the rest of the course much easier to understand. Thanks for listening to GCSE Economics Essentials. Keep practicing those exam questions, and I'll see you next time. Good luck with your revision.